I found very interesting that for the rhythm basis of almost all the tracks, you use concrete sounds of the fabric, the train. But then the structure of the sound of the songs are more or less standard, in a sense. This is how you came to use this concrete sound for not so experimental structure, so to say. And then, is there any disagreement in between Lars von Trier and you about the music and the release of the music?
Well, of course, we spent the whole year when I was doing the music, and I would sit and listen to him maybe for 5-6 days, and then I would go and write the songs. Because I was very interested to, because I am very ambitious in the fact not only to do my own ideas, but I also think to adapt to other people's ideas and to become other half of someone and to smell somebody else's vision and then complete it. I think that is just as important talent as to think of an idea. You know, as much as I like that, but and I think Lars, I guess maybe how we felt different about Selma musically to make us very big stories simple was he thought she was very stupid and simple, and I thought that it's if even though you're stupid or naive, you can still have a lot of naive. Like poetry and complexities in you. I think he wanted the lyrics to be more, for example, like baby language, like I love you, like you do too, that sort of thing, and the songs to be like that too, like sort of like some sort of children music. Whereas I felt very strongly for Selma that she was a woman, you know, and that she was. Maybe nobody saw that in the factory, or but that on the inside, she was a fully grown woman and very poetic, you know. And I felt, for example, lyrically that, and that's Sean, who did two lyrics with me on my albums, Isabel and Bachelorette, who's an author from Iceland, one of my oldest friends. He wrote the lyrics with Lars in the end, where, I mean, like, for example, when after the murder, she gets to sing words like the time it takes a tear to fall or rose to grow a thorn, you know, the time it takes a snake to shed its skin is the time that you need to forgive me, you know. And it's even like sickly, you know, like sort of sentimental, but I think she's a bit like that, you know. I think she can be, I think you don't have to have been in Oxford for 10 years to be a poet. I think poetry has got nothing to do with education. I think people can be born poetic, and sometimes three-year-old children are the most poetic ones, you know. Of course, with a three-year working process like me and Lars, of course there's going to be things where you don't agree on. And that's the reason why we work together, you know, because otherwise I would just do another album and I would always agree with myself. Hey, here comes an idea, Björk. Oh, that's a good idea, Björk, you know. And you know, that's the reason why you communicate with people and why you do things like fall in love and get married or collaborate or start companies with people or, you know, you want to change the world. And I think musically... Maybe I've now answered more of the poetic stuff and the lyrics. I think, he listens maybe to music like, I remember, like Roxette and Celine Dion. And he really likes Andy Gibb. And I think it's because he's the martyr of the Gibb brothers, huh? He's got a thing about martyrdom, that man. But so I was maybe kind of putting my head for a year into like, trying to really find out what this man wanted and having an 80-piece orchestra and everything very complex and coming back with the CD very proud and happy after, you know, months and months and months and months of work. And I would put it on the table in his office and he would run to the bathroom, and I would just look through the other stuff that he's listening to, and find like Roxette and Plan to Give, and I was like, okay, challenge. Okay. I put 3 years of my life aside to make this man happy. But then again, of course, that's also why I want to work with someone like this, because he is not, I mean, I was 10 years in music school, and academics are terrible, you know. They are, of course, they are very exciting sometimes, but they can be such snobs. And I prefer to work on music from an emotional angle. And him, I read the script of Selma, and I cry my eyes out the first time I read it. And that's enough. You don't have to know, I want 6 violins in song number 12. It's technical, and that's easy for me to solve. I was not looking for that sort of support from a director. That's my job, to find these things out. As much as I don't know anything about acting, and Lars would say, don't worry, you know, you open this door and you walk over there and just feel like this. So, I mean, there I was very innocent, you know. And so the roles were very reversed like that. But, yeah, I guess with all the concrete stuff, that was very exciting. And that's kind of what I wanted to do from when I was a child, was to kind of to make a musical just like this, that we wouldn't get any magic tricks from Hollywood, you know. That I would just start singing, and I would hit this and this and this, and then you would join in the chorus, and we would all jump up and down, and that would be like to if you have enough faith in magic, you don't need Hollywood budget, and everybody don't have to look great and be, you know, have like crazy camera things going on. So I think in that sense, when I read the script, it was like, wow, this is what I want to do, and to record all the sounds, so there's completely different sounds in each song. They were recorded from each scene. So, you know, being like a scientist with headphone and machine and going to each location and kind of like taking, and then you have to go home and these are all the noises you can use. And first we were going to do it like that. And I was saying to Lars, let's record all the vocals live, you know, and everything. And then once the project grew, we realized it would not be brave. It was crossing that line and going too foolhardy. It would have just been silly. And maybe that's something I'd do later. And because we didn't record anything live, because it was just, I like brought the music in a bag with me to set, it needed that extra like magic element that, you know, you have dialogue like, and then the song starts and you kind of... So it had to be an orchestra. I mean, I left that decision till right the last minute, but I wanted to be very punk about it, but I think Selma, more than me, I would have done it with a string octet like I did on Homogenic. That's me. Sort of, you know, kind of more real, you know, not trying, no easy tricks. But Selma's the sort of person that liked, sort of, she's more... kind of, she liked sort of sugary things, you know, and she deserved them, and she got them.